Operator, could you start the recording, please?
Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. I'd like to inform all participants this conference is recorded. If you have any objection, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Jeff.
Yes, this is Glenn. Sorry.
Yes.
I just would like to ask you whether it is all right for somebody to join the policy development group as an individual.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a question we're going to answer during this call. That's a topic for reaching out past the drafting teams to the actual teams once the charters are agreed to. So I think we'll cover that in the meeting.
Thanks, Jeff, because that's a question that came to me.
Right.
Can I ask a question, Glenn?
Thanks.
Did you mean this steering committee, or did you mean one of the teams?
No. One of the teams of the steering committee, and particularly the PDP team of the steering committee.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to clarify.
Thanks.
Okay, so just trying to pull up the agenda here and make sure I've got it right. So it's on the for those of you on the wiki. Hey, Liz, I'm still looking for it. I'm not sure why.
I didn't actually post. Sorry, I should have, but I didn't post the agenda to the wiki.
I
circulated the agenda in email with it's the same reminder message that Glenn sent out with the teleconference stuff. I just sent it this morning.
Okay, I got it.
I'd be happy to walk through it, but
okay, so I can walk through it
and
now.
In the future, I will put it on the wiki too. That's an evolutionary process of my wiki, of wikiing.
That would be me too as well, since I'm fairly new at the wiki as well. So the agenda that's sent around talks about we'll do an intro and the agenda review, walk through the updated wiki. We'll have a discussion on the PPSC charter and talking about the work team charters, and then outreach, and then other updates. We'll get into. As well as timelines for completing the work. Is there anything else that people wanted to add to the agenda that we're missing? Okay, hearing silence. I do want to welcome Greg Ruth and Tony Harris, who have joined the steering committee. Now we now have representatives from all of the constituencies. And I might be actually skipping ahead in the agenda item, but we did send, in accordance with the last call, we did send an invite to the GAC, and we have, Liz, correct me if I'm wrong, we have not heard back from them.
That's right, we have not.
Did we even get an acknowledgement that they got the invite?
I have not.
Okay.
But I could check that easily with the staff liaison, Donna Austin, because she was going to help facilitate as well. So
we'll obviously keep trying and send reminders. I'm not sure, you know, if we'll have a participant. Hopefully we will, and if they are a participant, at least an observer. So that would be good to get them on board, especially given all the discussions that have happened recently in the governance discussions. With that, Liz, do you want to take everyone through some of the changes we made to the wiki, some of the things that we've added as we go forward?
Yeah, I just wanted to let people know that I did post a number of documents to the wiki that we had discussed in our previous call. The first document is on the PPSC workspace, and it is just the Annex A of the ICANN bylaws that deals with the current PDP process. So Annex that applies to the GNSO. So you'll see that as an attachment, and also useful external document links there on the PPSC page. And then where you see initial PPSC teams on the PPSC wiki, you'll see a bullet for PDP team and a bullet for working group team. And if you click on the PDP work team, which takes you to the PDP work team workspace, I also uploaded the bylaws there because that'll be relevant to the specific work of the PDP work team. And I also uploaded two other documents. One is we had discussed on the last call that, of course, the voting thresholds once the new council is seated have changed, and everyone thought it'd be a good idea to have an easy reference to what those new voting thresholds are. And so that's posted as a document on under background information on the PDP space, as is a little background paper that just summarizes what the work tasks of the PDP work team are as conceived of by the BGC working group GNSO improvements report that the board approved. So it's just a Word document that attempts to summarize everything that was in the board approved GNSO improvements report relevant to enhancing the PDP, intended as just an easy reference for this work team, for the PDP work team. And then you'll notice that there also is a page for the working group work team. And on that page, I also uploaded background on the same content pulled from the GNSO improvements report, but applicable to the tasks that lie ahead for the working group work team, and just intended as an easy reference for those documents. The pages themselves contain the draft charters that I also circulated in a Word document just to make sure everyone had access both through the wiki and in email to what the three draft charters that we're discussing today are. And I think that's basically it. But if anyone has any other suggestions for enhancing content on the wiki, I'm happy to incorporate them, and I will in the future add agendas for future calls, et cetera, more religiously on the PPFD site as well.
Can I ask you?
Yes.
Liz, something that might be good to add to the working group one is from the last charter that the council approved for a working group. Each of the charters has been including sort of a progressively refined notion of basic guidelines for a working group since there weren't any. So that might be a good thing to include as a reference. And the other thing that might be good to include is we've gotten one or two comment feedback from various working groups that we've tried that would probably be good fodder to have in there.
You're thinking about the Fastflux?
Fastflux is one, and I don't know if we had any on earlier, but just...
Yeah, there are the others, yeah, for sure. What was the first thing, though? That was
the first thing in each of the charters, in the Fastflux and in the...
Oh, I see what you mean, right. It's the language.
What we did, since we didn't have a working group guidelines from any formal, what we've been doing is including a set of guidelines in the charter
right.
themselves, and those seem to be something that's worth just having as some of the materials that we start with.
Yes, great. I'll do that.
Thanks.
Yep. Thanks.
Aubrey, what was the other one? It's Fastflux and...
It's the IRTP Part A.
Right.
I don't know if they have comments, but there was a charter in there. I mean, there was a working group description in their charter.
Right. Okay. I just...
And I don't know whether we have any comments left over. I mean, because we've been doing working groups. I think the first experimental was the IDN. Then we did the Who Is. We've done Fastflux. And now we're doing IRTP Part A. And there may be other comments that have been collected over time on things one should and shouldn't do, things that went right, things that went wrong.
So I only know of one, and I do agree that kind of amassing those reflections would be really useful. So maybe it's a possible suggestion to talk to some of those working group chairs that haven't maybe memorialized their thoughts, but whose thoughts we could capture. But also, I know we talked on the earlier call about, and maybe even in Cairo, about starting to list, you know, the good things and the bad things, what's working, what's not, in a sort of general brainstorming, which is we might want to do more rigorously as well.
Okay, and who, so I know Mike O'Connor and then Avery, you're the current chair of the Fast Flux?
Yeah, but I'm just an interim chair until I can get another one.
Okay, and then the IRTP chair?
Paul Diaz.
Oh, Paul, okay.
Yeah. And
then Philip Shepherd did the Who is Working Group last year.
And Rahm did the first one. And I think for Who Is, there were both. There were certainly comments. I'm not sure what form they could be collected in, but there were comments from
yeah.
in the group, and I'm not sure how we gather those up.
Right.
It's worth looking into.
Okay. I'll take that Who Is one as an action to look through.
Okay.
There's also domain casing.
That's right.
Yeah, now domain casing was interesting because it was like a drafting team, right? We didn't actually convene. You had, Mike, you had sort of the ad hoc group. That was before.
Right. It was like an ad hoc working group or something like that, I forget.
I mean, I don't think we have to go nuts over collecting these things, but anything we have is worth collecting.
Yes.
Right. Okay, any other questions on comments for or comments for things to include on the wiki?
Well, I have a question of something that's there. Under the working under the initial PPSC teams, it lists the people as the initial charter drafting volunteers. I thought we were the volunteers for the actual teams.
Well, okay, so we're going to...
Who may also draft the charter, but...
Right, can we save that for discussion item 4?
Okay.
We'll get to that. I just want to get through a couple things first.
Okay, I wasn't sure if it was an error in the wiki or something we need to discuss.
Yeah, no, it's not an error. It just to be brief, right now it's just a drafting team, but it eventually morph into the actual
okay.
team. So we'll talk about that. The next thing is a discussion on the current PPSC charter, and I noticed right before the call, Jay Scott has turned around a couple documents that have the revisions to this to the charter, which would need to go through back to the GNSO Council, and I'll let Jay Scott talk about it. But to me, Jay Scott, it really just looked like taking it and reorganizing it, so instead of something in the future, talking about something that currently exists.
That's true. I also sort of made it a little bit more open-ended. In some of the things that you don't drill down. So, you know, a little bit. So if you look at the redline version, you'll see I just took out some things and made it a little tighter, saying that, you know, the two initial work items will be the establishment of a PDP and working group model, and that we're going to establish the procedures, and I think that's where we are, and that... that we're going to work through those issues, and that's what we'll do. And then after those issues are worked through, there's a chance that the charter could be expanded to include additional responsibilities. And I took out the examples, because examples always lead people to say, well, you said they were only going to do this. I think it's just clear if we say it could be expanded for reviewing how it's functioning and going. And that allows the GNSO some flexibility depending on what issues have arisen to, you know, put that charter out there. With regards to the working group, charter for the working group team, I just drilled it down to the most essential, which was that, you know, we're required to develop and implement a new model, a new working group model to improve inclusiveness, effectiveness, and efficiency, and then define two primary tasks and then moved what I thought was more sort of explanatory language of why we're doing that to the end, rather than including it, and would probably think we might want to headline that like background rather than as part of the charter. my thoughts. I just think if we keep it short, and, you know, short and clear on this one, and then on the other one where there's some idea that there may be an expanded role, to keep that sort of open and not tightly defined so that the GNSO has some flexibility.
Okay. So taking the steering committee one first, Avi, can I ask a question? When does something have to be in to be put on the agenda for the GNSO council meeting? And
a week before. So for the next meeting, it would be tomorrow.
Okay.
Basically, try to get anything that requires reading and voting, unless it's simple, for, you know, just a simple thing, on the agenda, and the agendas are formally supposed to be up a week before the meeting.
So the only thing that would have to go to the council at this point would be the main policy process steering committee charter. And Jay Scott has whittled that down. If I'm looking at the right one here.
All I did was I just shortened it and made it a little bit more malleable when it talked about how it could be expanded. The substance of it is not changed. I didn't add anything. I didn't just take anything out that would change the purpose, but those are decisions you'll have to make. But that was not my intent. My intent was just to make it more concise and something that would be easier to read.
At this point, I would say that being the case, I wouldn't bother taking it to them just yet, because we haven't added any milestones yet. And I think us adding milestones of when we plan to do something and when we plan to have something done would be an important part with sending it back to the council. So I think that, you know, if we wait a meeting and, you know, perhaps add some milestones, then that could be taken back to the council.
Right. I think we could still, it's not as if we have to stop work waiting for the council to approve the charter. So Jay Scott, that would basically, what you wrote would replace the first two sections on the page, the overall, or is that just the overall purpose and description? Is that, and working method?
I have to look at the thing that lives sent around, because that's where I took it from. I just took it as being the charter for the overall committee.
Right.
And then I didn't do the, because I'm not on the working group for the PDP working group, working
right.
team. I just did the working group team.
Right, no, I'm just trying to see how it would fit in. The way the current one is up there, there are certain headings that, there's the overall purpose, description, working method, and then I guess the, you know, membership, current members, other participants, that would stay pretty much as is.
And I'm not so sure, I guess I don't view that as part of the charter. I sort of see the charter as a mission statement for everything, you know, sort of the umbrella, the chapeau that says, here's what our purpose is, X, Y, and Z. And then all the other stuff feeds into that, because that's implementation of that charter. I don't necessarily see that as part of the charter. Now, I can see where Audrey might want to put in milestones under the work we're done as part of the charter, because it might be better to hold our feet to the fire. But the rest of it, I think, is just, you know, we say we're going to create a more inclusive process. Well, here's, for this part of the process, here's what we're doing. But that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I think the reason Avery added it is because there's a couple things like milestones that need to go to the council for their, for them to make a decision to approve, I guess. So we'll just, what if we took your charter, substituted it in for all the beginning stuff up to, I guess we got to look at it, right, Liz? And just if we put it on the wiki.
Yeah, it's just the team charter goals under working group team.
Well, I'm thinking of the beginning part. The
PTSC?
Yeah. So why don't Liz and I could talk offline. What we'll do is we'll we'll post this, and then we'll solicit feedback from the entire group, from everyone on this call, on that. We'll start with Dave Scott's version. But Dave Scott, I guess you're leading the working group team. So we'll post it, and then, you know, you could gather the collective feedback from your individual team.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it'll all be going onto the list, and that I would be getting it as a member of the list.
Yeah, there's two. Glenn actually, after the last call, created two different lists.
I actually posted to the main list because I incorporated the Policy Process Steering Committee overall charter, and
right.
Then I posted to the working team list because I included the working team, but I didn't post it to your working group.
Which is fine, that was the right thing to do. And what we'll do is, the action item then is to just go through, for the whole PPSC, is to go through the revisions by Jay Scott on the proposed charter. Actually, go back a step. Liz and I will post it to the wiki, and we'll incorporate all the other pieces that are in there, including the membership, current members, other participants, all that other stuff, and the heading for milestones. And then once we do that, then that'll be open for comment by the steering committee so that we can come up with, hopefully by the next meeting, the final PPSC charter. Concurrently with that, Jay Scott will work with the working group team to work on that portion of it, of the charter. And I will work with the PDP team. I'm going to post something in the next couple days, something similar to what Jay Scott did for the PDP team. And we can get that underway on the PDP team side.
Okay. Liz and Jeff, just having looked at the wiki, I would see that what I drafted would cover the first two headings, overall purpose and description of PPSC.
Right. I'm thinking we should just combine that to charter.
Yeah, and I would see that, and then working method would begin another breakout.
That's right. I have two small suggestions to your edit on
PPSC. We don't need to go through that right now.
Okay.
I'm sure the cleanup and stuff, and we can do that as we go through.
Fine.
We can move on because we can do that online.
And on the wiki, I'm assuming, and again, this is just my ignorance, I guess, we can show things as revisions, like is there like a track change type thing on there?
Actually, Aubrey is the wiki maven, but I don't think it's as flexible as we would like.
Oh, it's very flexible. In terms of tracking changes, there's a whole look at previous versions, go back to previous versions, compare any two previous versions thing on the side that you can look at. So basically, you just make your changes, and then anybody that wants to look back and compare what's changed, there's a various features that can do that.
Okay.
Yeah, if you look in the upper right-hand side, it says, in this case, 46 revisions. If you click on that, you can start seeing details.
Right, you can go back and you compare revisions. You can revert to an older revision.
All right.
You can do any number of complicated things to get yourself in trouble.
And we could always put those in Word documents and do like a Word comparison just to post as a separate document as well for those wiki challenged like myself.
Or one of the things we may want to do, Jeff, is when we come to the final languages, post the Word documents as part of a mailing list, the mailing list, because some people will only be checked following that.
Right.
And so if it's attached as a document as here are the final revisions and a redlined version from what appeared, and just post it to the list, that's another way to do it.
Yeah, and I believe it even gives you the ability to throw off a Word document.
Okay.
So the goal would be to finalize by the next meeting, and we got to talk, actually we got to add that to the agenda, I forgot to add that, is the date of the next meeting, since we had said that every 2 weeks we'd meet at this time, but the next one would be, I believe, Christmas Eve, so that probably won't work out. So we'll have to, our last agenda item, we'll talk about the date for the next meeting. Is there any other questions on the charter or these action items? Okay. Hearing none, I think now we get to the item that was brought up earlier, which is outreach for work teams and discussion of other issues related to work team objectives, formation, and leadership. So you'll notice on the wiki, what we had started to do, the action items from the last meeting were to really focus on the charters and not necessarily focus on the work of these two teams, the PDP team and the working group team. And so what we did is, rather than, we basically said that the people that were working on the charters could and probably would be initial members of the actual teams once they got working, but we weren't really focusing on that. Now, obviously, the people who have expressed interest in working on the charter for the PDP team or the working group team probably have a desire to serve on those actual teams when they do the work. But we didn't make that assumption. The other reason is that we envisioned the charter teams, the people working on the charter, was a much smaller group than ultimately the people doing the work on the actual teams. So, is there any question on that initial point? So, what we need to start thinking about, though, is if we make the assumption that these people that are listed right now, and we need to add, we actually need to add Greg Ruth to the PDP team, and was it Tony Harris to the working group team? So we'll add that on the wiki. But in addition, we need to do some outreach to members, to a bunch of other people on the constituencies and beyond. And so I wanted to, you know, we Liz and I have done some thinking about it. We do have on this PPSC, we do have alternates that are designated. So that might be a good place to start to see where the alternates want to serve. Or if it's not the alternates, whether the constituencies want to go back and, you know, see if there are other people that want to serve on these two teams. And then also we need to go to others in the community to get to basically issue a solicitation for volunteers.
Can we not do one of those emails that I get all the time from ICANN that says ICANN soliciting interested parties?
We can send...
I get ICANN alerts all the time whenever there's a public comment period open, something like that. Could we not send something similar out to that list that just says...
Glenn, can you help me here? Because I know we have easy access to the constituency list. And Aubrey, maybe you know, but I don't know if there's a broader alert. And certainly to the ALAC.
Yeah, there certainly are broader alerts. I don't know how broad we want to go. We could certainly go as far as GA. One of the things that we've done, and I firmly believe that we should do, full community outreach beyond constituencies. But once we do that, we do have to apply some sort of filtering, or at least we have in the past applied some sort of filtering, which basically constituted, does anybody know of this person having been kicked off any other ICANN working group or list? And that basically, and then reviewing people specifically if that was the case, so that there were certain well-known problems that we didn't include from the beginning. But by and large, you know, when we're talking about either working groups or working teams, I thought we were talking about fairly open groups.
Do we not want to solicit people from the constituencies as their formal rep first, like we do on working groups or have done?
I would think so.
So you're, Alan, are you suggesting a two-step process?
It could be done in parallel, but...
Okay.
But I think we want the person who is identified as the lead person and can go back to that constituency for opinions and things like that, as opposed to individuals who may be from a constituency or not.
So excuse me, this is Constantinos. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we're looking from our constituencies two people if one of us does not want to participate in any of the teams, correct?
Correct. Right, and that's another important point. If a constituency, just because a constituency sent one or two people to the steering committee, doesn't necessarily mean that those people also have to serve on one of the two teams.
Well, yeah, in fact, I mean, the sovereign, I don't think there's any obligation that any constituency has to serve on a team. They're certainly all welcome to, and I don't think they need to be limited to one. But I don't know that anyone's ever made it up. You have to serve. Obviously, it's a good idea to, but...
Well, I'm sure.
In these particular teams, I think we'd want to strongly encourage it. I mean, we want...
Oh, yeah.
We don't want any question later about... But at least make sure that our attempt to get full participation is very well documented.
Yep.
Then the question is, if we reach out to individuals, is there some sort of logistical limit? If so, how do we measure that? How do we come up with that? I guess these are all questions for the working group team as a whole to when they're talking about working groups, because essentially that's kind of what we're creating here. But I wanted to, because we have gotten, and Glenn has gotten some people already that have expressed interest in serving on one or the other teams, and you know, a number of them have been from the same constituency but asking to participate as individuals. So we need to kind of think about that issue.
And if I can throw in another one that we want to think about, it's actually trying to invite some experts, for example, within the working group one. I would hope that we can try and recruit someone from W3C and perhaps someone from IETF, though of course I can do part of that one from IETF, and perhaps other groups that people know of that have long experience with working groups that can, you know, offer little bits of wisdom.
Now, is that something we want to do at the time we make the initial solicitation, or is that something we want to do if those people don't volunteer to do that as a work team? So, in other words, you look at the composition of the group, and then the work team decides who they want to invite from specific other organizations?
Yeah, I think that, well, we're supposed to be coordinating it, and I think what we would do is rather than we would say that you have the ability to do that, and then leave it to the working team to decide whom.
Right,
yes, and I think we need to judge that on an individual basis. Depending on what work we need, we can approach the correct experts, I think.
Does that sound okay, Aubrey?
Oh, yeah, I think any way we want to do it is fine.
I mean, if these experts volunteer on their own,
right,
in response to a solicitation, that's a bonus. But I do agree with the suggestion that once these teams are in place, that they as a team reach out to whatever organization they think is appropriate, whether it's the IETF and or W3C or others that people have participated on. So the question then is. So let's say we get a representative from each of the constituencies on the two teams, and then we get a whole bunch of applications or people that are individuals. Is there a logistical number limit that should be placed on these, or is that too arbitrary? Well, let's start with that one, and then the next question would be whether, you know, if we see a bunch of individuals but they're all from the same constituency, are there any limits put on that?
This is Konstantinos. I think that we might need to think, at least, to pose a limit, not for any other reason, simply because there might be a danger of us being overpopulated.
Right.
Yeah.
How do we deal with that?
Aubrey?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, obviously we've got a limit, which is the number of people that can participate in a phone call, but I think that's bigger than any number we'll ever see. Yeah, because that's like 100 or 200 or something, and I don't think that'll happen. But even if a lot of people volunteer and get themselves on the mailing list, you'll never see more than 10 to 20 people who are actually active in any group, just historically. I've been in groups with 500 people, and yet there've been maybe you know, two dozen who were the active ones. So I don't know that, and since we're not, you know, doing voting and stuff like that, but perhaps it does become an issue. I think the putting on restrictions at the beginning may be a difficult exercise that might not be necessary, but you know, that's just one view.
And Aubrey, am I correct in historically at live meetings that number is closer to 80 to 100 people who participate? Now, they don't all have something to say, but they certainly are in the room.
Yeah. I think when people are coming to, like, our weekend meetings when we're talking about stuff.
Right.
That's about as many people as you get. And some of them are pure tourists.
Yeah.
And some of them come because it's an issue they care about.
There's also the issue, someone said we won't be doing voting, but indeed we're going to have to be making decisions and there's going to be differences of opinion, and we're going to need some methodology to decide what goes in the final documents. And that may end up involving voting or something resembling it, and the question is, do sheer numbers count, or do some people count more than others?
That's where, you know, at the moment, at least at the steering group level, we're under full consensus mode. That's a decision that I think we're going to have to make, or these groups are going to have to make. Are they full consensus? Are they rough consensus? Hopefully they're not, and they're not voting. But you know, yeah.
I mean, we're discussing some rather crucial things, and there's going to be differences of opinion, strong ones, I suspect.
Right. Well, it's a little bit. I won't say it's a little easier, but it's more manageable at the PPSC level since there are a limited number of people. Much harder. So the question is, maybe it's just the work teams. Putting forth all the opinions and numbers and trying in some way to classify whether these comments by individuals or constituencies, and then having the PPSC look at those and try to figure out from the output of the work teams what to do.
That's certainly one option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, we're getting a fair amount of experience at working in the support, you know, three levels of something is supported, something has some support, something is a minority viewpoint, et cetera, and something is just an extra opinion that someone wants to make sure is heard. We're getting a fair amount of experience at working in groups and recording things that way, that may be a model that we continue with.
Albert, should we that's actually written down in one of in all of the in a number of the can we post that up on the wiki?
Yeah, I think that's part of what would be actually encompassed in what Aubrey was suggesting has been in like the charters for a couple of the most recent working group descriptions that have been approved by the council. So I'll post some of those. They may all be the same language.
They're similar. It's evolved. I've written most of it. It evolves a little each time.
Okay.
So can I go back to something that
Tim,
I'm sorry. Who's that?
Just Tim.
Oh, hey, Tim, you go first before me.
Okay. It's one thing I wanted to hopefully we can look at as we get further closer to that point that I've always been concerned with in some of these working group models is that it always wasn't very clear always. You know, what the interest was of the participants. And from my perspective, anyway, that seems to be an important point so that we can better understand what rough consensus might mean based on everybody's viewpoint. So if we don't understand, we don't have a good idea of who's involved and what their interest or stake is within the community, then it's difficult to say, you know, whether there's consensus within any one particular stakeholder group or even as a whole.
So, Tim, what you were saying is everyone who participates should, at a minimum, file an interest statement. And
but I don't know how detailed we need to get with that, but we need to have some idea of you know, I'm involved in representing the registrar's constituency. Someone else involved, they're only involved as an individual, not with no other stakeholder group beyond that. For one thing, I think it's important for us that we know, you know, what that everyone is represented and that everyone's viewpoints have been heard and that they had an opportunity to participate.
Yeah, that's not really a statement of interest, but a statement of who you're representing.
Right, yeah, and if that's enough, you know, perhaps, but we need to be able to identify, I think, at some point, as we're trying to review, you know, whether consensus was really reached. You know, if there's 100 people involved and 60 of them are from a single stakeholder group, you know, the views of the other 40 might be a minority,
mm-hmm.
but it's because of the, you know, disproportionate participation from a particular group.
So, picking up... Is it pretty customary in any working group to have a statement provided by all? I think it's required in... I'm not sure the distinction, Alan, you were making, and not a statement of interest, but a statement of...
The statement I made didn't cover everything. At the very least, we want to know who is representing large groups and specifically GNSO constituencies. We also want to know your lineage to some extent of what your personal interests are.
Right. So if you're let's say a lawyer and you represent a client, you know, maybe you don't have to name who that client is, but you should be upfront and honest and say, you know, I'm representing a client who is a member of the business constituency or who is a registry or who, you know, we should know that's the case. So it's kind of it's a statement of interest with a added feature of whether, you know, asking whether that person is representing someone else who's acting as a representative of another party when participating in the group. Does that make sense?
I think that's fair.
I mean, do you want them to just, is there a form that we should have people fill out, or is it just something that you just basically ask on day one?
I think there's a template that Glenn sends around to people.
Is Glenn still on?
I think Glenn requests them from everyone, and I'll let her talk about the template and jump in. But it also, I think, would be reasonable to articulate what you want. I think we did that, actually, in Fast Flux. We asked for... I'm not sure it totally worked, but I think we asked for some specific questions for people to respond, and I'll go back and look. I wanted to make just a slight segue here and mention that one of the GNSO improvements that actually I think is encompassed in the Operations Steering Committee is the idea of a standardized statement of interest that would be more of a consistent request or requirement. That is a recommendation of the board in the improvements package, and that'll be the job of one of those work teams. I think it's the one that falls into the GNSO operations to come up with an appropriate model for that is consistent and addresses the concerns of the community.
Okay, so we can pretty much do anything, and then when they get a real form, we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, as part of the solicitation that we craft for volunteers, do we also create a form questionnaire that any participant who wants to be on fills out? And then the question I had was really for Avery, where you said something about a filtering process. How has that worked in the past, and who are the ones doing the filtering?
Okay, what has been done in the past in terms of adding people to things has been a two-stage. One is Glenn has pretty much, Glenn and I think others within ICANN have known who have been troublemakers kicked off of lists in the past. And if one of those was applying, would raise the flag. And then the other thing that I've done is on a closed list, we sent names to any of the council members in this case and said, does anyone have a reason why this person should not be included? And they should send that message to me, and then we would talk about how to deal with it further. We've never had one of those occasions, so I've never explored what it is we do next. But that's sort of been, and it's how to be open, but how to be cautious. You know, we all know that there are certain people that are historically very problematic, you know, but the number of people can be numbered on one hand, maybe two hands, I don't know. So it's not a big issue, but that's sort of what I've done to date. And as I said, I've never gotten to the second point of, you know, so-and-so is. Now, the way I thought of handling it is if somebody was from a constituency and someone from another constituency said, whoa, you can't let that person in because of A, B, or C, I would have gone back to the leadership in that constituency and said, you know, let's talk. What do we do about this? In terms of an outside person, I hadn't really given it much thought yet.
Okay, so if we deal with that, kind of following that methodology, if we could get a draft up and reviewed by the PPSC, a solicitation statement for participation, have the PPSC review that along with a short questionnaire, you know, basically trying to solicit the information that would be in a statement of interest.
Oh, yeah, there was one other piece on that one check Glenn does. Glenn does a check of making sure that, you know, it's a real person that's reachable.
That's actually a good check.
I have a question, Jeff, just in process. This is Jeff Scott. Are you saying that before we go back to the constituencies and solicit participation, we're going to put this solicitation document and statement of interest document together so that can be used in reaching out to the constituencies as well as individuals?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that everyone would fill it out. It would be pretty easy for a constituency member to fill it out.
Absolutely. I just wanted to make sure, so I need to wait before I go back and say we're going to formally soliciting until I have documentation to do that with.
But we don't need the vetting process for representatives of constituencies.
Unless there, as Aubrey said, she's never had happen, someone should raise a complaint.
Well, if the constituency puts forward the person as the representative,
yeah, no,
I don't think we have much
choice.
That we
don't even check on.
Okay. All right.
There might be other members of that constituency that want to be involved, and then those would be vetted.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would assume, yeah.
But the formal,
all right,
designated person, no.
So the question for Liz and myself and Jay Scott, do we think we can have a draft application form and a simple questionnaire by the next meeting?
I think so, especially given the fact that it appears that Glenn may already have something that we can use as a starting point.
Yeah, apparently she's not, she's in the meeting view. She's not responding.
Yeah, I'm on the call.
Oh, hey, Glenn. Do you have a template statement of interest that you customarily send to working group participants, or is it just a request for a statement that they develop themselves?
No, it's a request that they develop themselves, and the request normally goes out to them in an email form, and then I check by telephone conversation to know that there's a person there.
And do you provide any guidance as to what should be included in that statement?
No, except that they have responded to a request
as has been the case, for example, in the Who Is working group, a request was put out on the website, and they have responded to that. And in other cases as well, they have responded to a request that has been made.
Well, I think what we could do, Liz and Jay Scott, I think we can go through, you know, we can randomly pick statements of interest that have been submitted for working groups or even the council and kind of discern some common elements from those.
I agree.
Yeah, to create a simple questionnaire. I don't view this as being something complicated, and I don't want to use it as an obstacle for people participating. I want to make it as easy as possible, but getting the information that people need to know when they're on these work teams.
Okay.
So why don't we make that as an action item for the next meeting? And so, Glenn, for the people that have volunteered already, if we could just let them know that we're still at the we're still finalizing the charters of the teams, and once we finalize that, we will issue a formal solicitation for participation. And then details.
Okay, thanks. That's
right.
Good to know, because I have had a couple of inquiries.
Okay, and let's make sure when we do send out the solicitation that we make sure that they get a copy of that. So, you know, since they've already volunteered, they're good people to go back to and just get them to fill out the simple form.
Okay.
And we'll also make it clear in the solicitation that the purpose of the form is not to weed people out, but just to understand you know, where they understand a little bit more about them and who they may represent. Because I could just see it being twisted as we're trying to weed people out, and that's not the goal.
Okay.
I think that's great, Jeff. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. The next item is, other updates. I guess we talked about, we have not heard anything back from the GAC. We'll follow up with them. Liz, was there anything else you had in mind as far as other updates?
Just the GAC at the moment, unless anybody else had anything else.
Is there any other advisory group that we want to reach out to, or, sorry, advisory committee? So we have the ALAC, we have the GAC. Is there any other one that we feel we should reach out to that wouldn't otherwise be reached out to for, you know, on the work teams?
Well, those are the only two that the bylaws say sort of officially interact with the GNSO. Nothing stops us from sending out, you know, the call to the chairs of the other various committees.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we can, this is Tim, if we can do that as needed. I mean, the other advisory committees are very technical in nature, right? So,
one of the things that I've had conversation with several people on is there seems to be an automatic, and this will probably be discussed as part of the PDP team, I would think, but there seems to be an automatic presumption that advisory committees, including committees like the FSAC, have a an ability to generate or request an issues report without ever going through the GNSO, and so they could essentially kick off the policy development process without the involvement of the GNSO.
That's in the bylaws.
Right. So
only ALAC has taken advantage of it to date, but yeah.
Correct. Only ALAC. FSAC has not done that, and I'm not sure if the GAC has not done that.
I believe we're the only ones.
Right. So I guess it's something that the PDP team, I guess, will look at and may make a recommendation on. But given that it would affect the FSAC, maybe it's something for the PDP team to think about as opposed to the PPSC as a whole.
Yeah. Jeff, I think the biggest issue right now, because I'm going to have to go here soon, I've got a back-to-back call, is when are we going to meet again?
Okay, that's a good point. All right, so the next meeting was supposed to be the 24th, but obviously that's Christmas Eve for a number of the people on the call. For me, it's okay. I got Hanukkah, but that's, you know, later on. But I understand that Bill...
No, actually, it's earlier.
Yeah, it's actually earlier.
Mm.
We're earlier this year.
Oh, I don't even know...
Yeah, you don't even know when it is.
In fact, you're calling yourself out as not the best Jew.
Hey,
not one of your stories.
Well, it
can be a potato latkes day. Okay,
you're outing yourself, Jeff.
Jeff is right. It's also after, also.
It's not after, yeah, during.
About January 9th, second week of January.
Yeah, that seems like right.
So the meeting after
Christmas
like
and the New Year.
Right.
But the meeting after that will be scheduled for the 7th. I would like to avoid, if possible, a whole 4 weeks. So what are people's schedules like the few days before Christmas Eve, so like Tuesday the 23rd or Monday the 22nd?
22nd is better for me.
I'm in an airplane on the 22nd.
For me as well, the 22nd is better. I'm on an airplane on the 23rd.
22nd is okay depending on the time for me.
You know what, Glenn, can we do one of those, I forgot what they're called now.
Doodles.
Can we do one of those for, I would suggest the 22nd, 23rd, and if we have to, just to see feedback, the 29th and 30th. At this particular...
29th, 20th, and 30th, are you sure? Because they just before New Year?
Yeah, I just want to see, you know, people can respond no. I just want to see, I mean, it's better to have a choice. And if for some reason we get more people saying they're available the 29th and the 30th as opposed to 22nd, 23rd, then, you know, we'll do it then.
Okay.
And why don't we suggest this time on those dates?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if everyone in the group can go and respond to that, we will pick the day that seems like the most people could attend, and we'll post the action items. After this meeting, I will go and I will... Did people find my informal notes helpful?
I did.
Yes. I did very much as well.
Okay, so I'm going to go try and do that again. It's not any kind of formal minutes or anything, but just something from notes that I've taken down. And I'll do that again, and we'll post the action items. And what I have is the working on finalizing the PPSC charter that Liz and I and Jay Scott will post on the wiki. Also, the different teams need to continue work on finalizing their work team charters. And we will also, Liz, myself, and Jay Scott will work on a solicitation form/questionnaire. That we can hopefully approve at the next meeting.
Okay.
I have a question. I'm on the PDP work team. I haven't seen any email. Is the list up or am I not on it?
You're on it. The list is up. Nobody's posted anything.
Okay.
I'll change that in the next couple days.
Okay.
Okay.
But you can test it out if you want to send a test to make sure.
I know that the two lists that I posted today worked because I got messages as a member of the list. So.
Okay. All right, is there any other questions, comments?
Nope.
Okay, well, I will see everyone on the next call.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye.